Tonight, as far as we can, as much as we could get, is to go through, try to be a very, as we say, well, Maisa sheer in terms of having things to say at these Seder. So I'm going to try to get about two, we'll start from Kalach Mahania and just go straight. One or two thoughts on each paragraph of the Haggadah, and some, we don't get to read the whole thing, each one inside. I gave you almost all of the thoughts that we're going to say, and they're in front of you. And I have another packet here. I hope to get through as well. But hopefully we'll get from, right. Kalach Mahania through Dayenu. We'll see how far we get. But I'd just like to start with one thought that is actually not in your packet, and that is a thought on Shulchan Aruch, which is on the meal. Now, there's a minhag to start the meal with an egg. I think the minhag Yisrael is for many people to have eggs at the beginning of the meal. There are different reasons given why an egg. It symbolizes the cycle of life, and an avel, also the first seuda that an avel eats, is an egg, and this is the ups and downs of history. That's why the carbon chagiga, that one is on the ka'ara. The egg on the ka'ara is the one for the carbon chagiga. Well, it depends. Maybe the egg, maybe the throw up. But the egg that we eat, that we get the salt water, some say it's available. Some say it's, again, the cycle of life or mourning. But the Ishtus the Rebbe gives a very very insightful comment. Ishtus the Rebbe says that the egg, if we think about it, is the only type of birth that comes from some type of being that has two stages. In other words, most beings, all people, and many animals, the baby comes out, boom, and then the labor happens. An egg, though, let's take a chicken, first the egg is laid, and then the egg is hatched. In other words, it's two stages. So says the Ishtasir, right after Magid, we just spent the past 2 hours discussing exclusively Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ishtasir says, right away we say, don't think that this was our full Geula. Don't think that Yetzias Mitzrayim was it. The Jewish people as well were given birth to in two stages. Yetzias Mitzrayim, yes, that was stage one. But remember, 49 days from now, Kabbalah HaTorah, that's stage two. So we eat the egg right after we discuss the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, the Mitzvah of the Night is the secret Yetzias Mitzrayim. To discuss exclusively about that, and hopefully we'll talk more about that on Shabbos, but we eat the egg right away to remind ourselves and to remind everybody that just like the egg is symbolic of a two-stage birth, so to the Jewish nation as well. This is also connected to something that the Nitziv says on HaTorah. The Nitziv says that based on the Halacha. The Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is between the first and second cup of wine, theoretically one is allowed to drink other cups if they want. But one shouldn't, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's not a good idea. Between the second and the third cup of wine, then that's the meal. So at the end of Magid, between the second and the third, that's the meal. So drink whatever you want. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, between the third and the fourth cup of wine, you're not allowed to drink. You can't drink any cups of wine. The reason given of Pshat is that you might fall asleep. You already have three cups of wine. If you drink some more, you might not finish the Seder. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. I don't want to drink any more wine between the third and the fourth cup. Then the Nitziv says another level of interpretation, and that is, we know the four cups of wine are also parallel to the four lashonos of redemption in the Torah. The Hoseti, the Salti, the Lakasi, the Gaalti, the Lakasi. The first three verbs in the Torah are all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fourth one is the Lakasi, which is Matan Torah. It says in the Nitziv, you can't have a break between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. I'll be drunk, yes, the reason you can't drink between the third and the fourth cup is you might fall asleep and I get too drunk. But it says, no, a deeper meaning is that after the third cup, which symbolizes the final stage of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you can't have any hefsek before the fourth cup. The fourth cup, which symbolizes Kabbalah HaTorah, that's the second stage of our Geula, just like the Ishtasir says. The two stages of the egg, so that the two levels of the weight of the egg, so too the birth of the Jewish nation, that's what it says, you can't drink between the third and the fourth cup of wine. Okay, so we started with the end of Magid, or at least even after Magid. Now let's go all the way back to the beginning. Okay, we have, let's start with Kalach Mahania. Kalach Mahania, we recite, this isn't any more packets we have? One more packet here. So we could share one more packet. Four chairs over here. So the first thought that we're going to say on Halach Ma'ani is something that we discussed a little bit, alluded to a little bit last year in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, but some of the, one or two of the things that we're going to learn tonight together are things that I've said before, but I put it now in the context of the Seder, so it's more stay-overable. You know, you have it in front of you, and we'll remind ourselves as well of some thoughts. So this Karno that we're about to do is a thought that we said last year. And that is, we look in Halach Ma'anya. So Halach Ma'anya, Diachalo of Asana Ba'arat Mitzrayim. The first thing that we say in Halach Ma'anya is, this is the bread that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. The obvious question that many of the person asks on this is that, what do you mean? Don't we eat matzah because we left in a hurry and the dough didn't have time to rise? So, what do you mean, Halach Ma'anya? This is the bread that we ate. We didn't eat it in Mitzrayim. We ate it after we left Mitzrayim. So Halach Ma'anya, the first words of the Haggadah are troublesome. Halach Ma'anya, Chalav HaSan, the Arad in Mitzrayim. So what's going on here? So the Svarno al Torah in Tarsus Re'e, which you have in the first two pages of your packet, says, Lechem Oni, where the arrow is in the top left of the page, Lechem Oni, Lechem Shehayu Ochlin Ba'anyam, D'shelo Hayo Lehem Tnai L'hasho Tisasam HaKetechma, Mitnei Noksim Hatsim. In other words, says the Svarno, no, matzah isn't just that we had to leave quickly and the dough didn't have time to rise, but we've been slaves in Egypt. We didn't have time to bake our bread. We didn't have all the luxuries in the world, all the time in the world. Even in Mitzrayim, we had to eat the matzah. Matzah wasn't just afterwards. Matzah symbolizes our shibud, our slavery. We only could eat matzah in Mitzrayim because we didn't have enough time to let the dough rise. So that's the lechem only, the bread of a poor person. It's not just matzah. They didn't just eat matzah afterwards. They ate matzah even in Mitzrayim. And the Torah continues, Kibbutzim Chazon Yassasa, he says, the two are connected. V'hatam l'hashir kipazon ha'lechem hu. You know why we had to leave quickly? He, turning the page, Kumuras oso kipazon ha'oni. As a rectifying, and as a reward for the kipazon, for the terrible subjugation we had in Mitzrayim, Hayaloka Afrakas kipazon ha'gu'uwa. Because we had to quickly prepare our bread in Mitzrayim, and we were on the lowest level, and we were getting, you know, subjugated, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he took us out, he zoomed us out. That was also quickly. In order to pay us back for the, you know, the how we had to act when we were in Mitzrayim in a quick manner, we didn't have time to enjoy our meal and eat our bread. So that is why, says the Sferno, so when we say Halach Ma'anya, the Yachol HaSan of Arad in Mitzrayim, that line is referring to the bread we ate in Mitzrayim. But remember, at the beginning of Haggadah, we're starting with the Shibud. We're starting with slavery. So if we're starting with the slavery, that's what we're saying. But one added point, and that is the Rav, and again, a lot of, over here on Shabbos, is a lot of the thoughts of our salvation. This Pesach is the 10th anniversary of the Jar site, so there's a lot of the Rav Sator Lezefer Nishmaso that's being talked about, so we're going to have a lot of it on Shabbos. But one thought tonight to add to this Karno, and that is, he notes that if you look in the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam adds three words that we don't have before Halach Ma'anya. On page 3, in the Rambam's Haggadah, this was put together by Rabbi Lichtenstein's son, in the Haggadah, in Oseth, he says, Halach Ma'anya, HaRambam BaHaggadah, Goreis, Bishilu Yassanu Minitrayim. In hurriness, we went out of Mitzrayim, Halach Ma'anya, etc., etc. So said the Rav, if you have those three words at the beginning, then you have both messages of the matzah, right there. Bishilu Yassanu Minitrayim, Halach Ma'anya. So Bishilu is emphasizing that we had any matzah because we left quickly, Halach Ma'anya. So this matzah is connected to that. And then if you look at the next words in Halach Ma'anya, is referring to the second aspect of the matzah, that we had to eat it quickly because we were being subjugated in Mitzrayim itself. So according to the Rambam's Girsa, not only are we talking about having one theme in Halach Ma'anya, but really both themes, according to that Girsa, are talked about in the first paragraph itself. Okay, so that is thought number one on Halach Ma'anya. A second thought on Halach Ma'anya is also on the same page, which is a question that almost every Haggadah you're looking at. And that is, in Halach Ma'anya, if you continue, it says, Kol Dipsin Yesei V'Yecho. Right? Anybody who's hungry, come and eat. My question is, this is the time to invite people. Anybody going to hear you? Door's closed, and everybody's already at their own Seder, so why don't we say Kol Dipsin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? You know, we should go out to the shul. Kol Dipsin Yesei V'Yecho. Who wants to come to my Seder? You're already sitting at your Seder. Your whole family's there. Everybody who took a fight is already there. now you're doing the inviting? So the Rav said that really you're not actually invited with this statement. But it's a joke. You know, when I'm making a joke at the beginning of the Seder, so what we're really doing, and this is something that we do a lot of the Seder night, is acting like free people. We're acting like B'nai Chorin. A Ben Chorin can be not Machnis Orchin. A Ben Chorin has the right and the ability and the privilege to have who he wants in his house. So it's not an actual invitation. It's just we say it as a reflection. Now we're free. Now we're B'nai Chorin. That's what he says at the bottom of the left of page 3. Midera Lomar. Dine Eben Eno Yoko Lahasnes Orchin. So Hakaibala Mashakana Eben Kana Rabo. Right, an Eved can't be Masas Orchim. The Lachay Masfil Metahagada Masas Orchim. The Omer is different. He should be called the Zehu Derechayim. This is Derechayim. This is a lot of the things that we're going to do that the Rav does throughout the Seder is Derechayim. Even if we're not doing it for the purpose that it's usually done for, but it's to show and reflect Derechayim. Well, Hiros Sheino Anu Avodin Ella Bnei Chorin. Okay. Those are two thoughts on Halach Mahani. Next. Next paragraph is Manishana. Have a Rambam coming to Masa for a second. The Rambam in Hilchos coming to Masa, again, it's time for a separate shiur, talks all about the Seder in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches of Hilchos coming to Masa. So, when the Rambam discusses the actual Seder, in Perek Zayin, Raman says, can you find it? Sorry, this is in Perachet, when he's actually talking about Perachet Halacha Beis. When Raman is talking about what exactly the actual process of the Seder, he goes through, you make Kiddush, and then you do Karpas, you dip it in salt water, etc., etc. The Acharkach Okrin Hashulchan, and after you break the Matzah, the Acharkach Okrin Hashulchan Milnei Akori Achvada Kinecto, you take away the Ka'ara, but many of us just cover our Ka'ara, Umozkin Akot Hasheni, you pour the second cup, Dekan HaBen Shoel. And here the son asks, what does the son ask? Manasana, that's the Matzah, what we would think. But right after the Rambam says, Dekan HaBen Shoel, what are the next words of the Rambam? The Omer HaKorei. Man is Tana Halayla Hazen, you call Halaylos, etc., etc. The Rambam says, the Tana Ben Shoel, and he doesn't say the Tana Ben Shoel Man is Tana, he says, here's the son asked, period. The next word says, and the Kore, which seems to be the leader of the Seder, Yomar HaKore, Man is Tana. So the question that is asked is, what's the shot of the Rambam? He was the Omer. Man is Tana is the question. He says, what you just said before, the Tana Ben Shoel. So what do you think of Omer HaKore? So Yerach HaShulchan suggests on page 5, and this is, he doesn't quote the Rambam, but this is the same idea as the Rambam, that on a certain level, yes, Manish Tana is a set of four questions, and that's how our kids say it, and fine, wonderful. But on another level, Manish Tana is a statement. And Manish Tana should be said as a statement. Manish Tana Halayla HaZeh. Not what is different, but how is it different? Manish Tana, how wonderful, how unique is this night? There's the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look at this beautiful lashon on the bottom of page 5. The Inyan Manish Tana, Ke'inyan Ma'gadlu Ma'asecha Hashem, how great are your actions, Hashem? How wonderful is this night? Ma'tobu Olech Yaakov, Al-Derech Ahis Ta'alus, I am, you know, overtaken by amazement. There are so many different unique actions that take place on this night. That's Manish Tana. That's the shot of the Rambam. The Omer HaKore. And the Kore says, and that is why the Halacha L'Maisa, after our children ask the questions, we shouldn't just go into Avodah Maginu. We have to say Manish Tana also. With Manish Tana, we can say it with a feeling that we can sing it with everybody. But we shouldn't just skip Manish Tana. We should also make sure to say it ourselves to the Yose, this additional level of interpretation of, you know, how different is this night. Yes. And the Chinami, Bekan Ben Shoel might mean other questions as well. Other questions as well. Okay, so that's Manish Tana. Avadim Hayinu. Most will have two on that. We just had one. Avadim Hayinu is the next paragraph. So that we say, Avadim Hayinu l'parah b'Mitzrayim. We were Avadim, and the evil of Ahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I'm saying to me, Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out, we would still be slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. Okay. Number of questions on this, we'll deal with one. We know, the Beis HaLevi implicitly asks, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov that their children were going to work and serve in a land, a strange land, they were going to work hard, and eventually, though, they would be redeemed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. So how could we have the audacity to say, you know, if you wouldn't have redeemed us, we'd be there forever? Because Rachel wouldn't fulfill his promise? He promised us. So what's the Havamina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out? We thank you for taking us out. He fulfilled his promise. The question that's just, we're not going to get to it, not tonight, but to look at your Haggadahs on the paragraph, Baruch Shomer HaSachatul Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem who kept his promise. That's a great thing. Hashem made promise. I mean, Baruch Shomer HaSachatul Yisrael. But that's. But here, the Beis HaLevi says, so what do you mean? I thought Rebbe would have to redeem us. Okay, we can be thankful, but what does it mean? If you wouldn't have taken us there, we would still be there. You know, what about the Hatzachas HaAvos? Says the Beis HaLevi, no. As Chazal said, he doesn't mention this Chazal, but we know that Al-Pi Kabbalah and Esau were on the 49th level of Summa. And that's why they had to come out so fast. They were Kim'at lost their connection, their Pintaliyid. It was like, it was just almost leaving. It was tremendous level. It's that they were over the Avodah Zarah. They weren't the Avodah Zarah in Yitzrayim. So since the Beis HaLevi, you know what Pshat is? Like a Baruch Hu, you know, wouldn't have taken us out? That wouldn't be a violation of the promise. Because there's the Beis HaLevi. Look in from the Beis HaLevi Haggadah. So in the second wide line towards the left side. We'll have your Kavanah Bazeh. The Hamitzriyim B'Shibudam Hachtiyo Osam Ba'oneh. They caused us to sin so much. Ad Yisrael Nishtaku Ba'averot U'B'Tumasa Shal Mitzrayim. We were so much, you know, involved in Averot. If Hayusam Ode, if we would have been there in a second, you know what? Hayu Nishkayim Kolkach B'Tuma Ad Shavu Hayanishar B'Libam Shum Roshem Kedusha V'Masha Yarshu Me'Avoseihem Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We would have lost our identity as children of the Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise, I will redeem the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. If we would have been there in another second, we wouldn't be children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's not just a biological term. That's a halachic term. That's an existential term. A term that identifies who we are. So if we would have been there another second, there wouldn't be a promise to fulfill. There wouldn't be any hissy simsy of Yisrael. So that's what it means. It means that the question was, what about the answer is, we wouldn't be Dami Yisrael anymore. So Baruch Hashem, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for redeeming us at the very last second, so that we would still keep our connection as Am Yisrael. We'll get back to a similar idea, Bez Hashem on Shabbos. I'm sorry? He has to do it, but that's going to thank him for that. It's not, I mean, the question was, what was the Havamina that, you know, he wouldn't be fulfilling his promise? The answer is, no, if he would have left us there another second, he wouldn't have a promise to fulfill. He wouldn't be violating. So he did have somewhat of a choice, let's say. Okay. Number two, on Avadim HaYidu, based on the Gemara in Tzachim, Adach Kuf Terzayim. Amen out. Gemara there has a well-known machlokas, which one of those few machlokas in the shop where we talk to him like those. Says the Gemara towards the bottom of the page, the Mishnah says, Maskul Bezuz and Messiah Bezbach. That's a lot on page of high. You have to start out with the state that we were in at the beginning, the bad state, the lowly state, the good, and we have to finish with praise. So that's the line of the Mishnah. Question is, what does that mean? Maskul Bezuz Umisayin Bishbach. I'm sorry, the bright. The Gemara says, my six lines up from the bottom, or the two dots, my dignus. What's the dignus that we have to start out with? Rab Amar Mitzhila Ove Avodas Galilim Hayu Avosenu. Rab holds that the gnus means the spiritual gnus. Means the that we were Ove Avodah Zara. And that's what we say in the Haggadah. Mitzhila Ove Avodah Zara Hayu Avosenu, etc., etc. We'll get to that paragraph later. Shmuel, Amar Avad Maginu. Shmuel says, no, Avad Maginu, Lachar Avad Mitzrayim. And we, uncharacteristically, passing like both. We say both Genuyot. We say both Avad Maginu, and we say both Yitzchilo Obi Avad Azara Hayab Oseinu. The Vilna Gaon in his Agada, on this paragraph says, because really there were two redemptions that took place. And that's how we could pass him like both. I don't know, I didn't give you this book. There were two redemptions. There was a physical redemption, obviously, but there was also a spiritual redemption. As we've been saying, we were Shakua in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of that, there's a spiritual redemption as well. That's why we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both. We start out with both the Genus of the spiritual and Genus of the physical, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both. And throughout the Haggadah, you will find many double lashonos that talk about Geula. For example, when we say invention, but think about it, we say that to so many times, we say, Upsi son, Hashot Yisano Meir Zitrayim, Upsi son of the Meis Avodim. Isn't that the same thing? So the Beis HaLevi in the Haggadah, later on benching, some great verse on benching. By the way, the Beis HaLevi Haggadah, not Haggadah. There's some great verse on benching. But this is one that he talks about there. Otisanu is a physical taking us out. Otisanu is a pigeon. That's more of a spiritual way. And then, or later on, we also say, I think it's in the bracha of Asher Galanu. We say, Al Gu Laseinu, Al Pazus Nashenu. Again, a double lashon. The same thing. The answer is no. Gu Laseinu is the, I forgot which is which, but one is Gu Laseinu, one is Pazus Nashenu, the redemption of our soul. That's already alluded to in this Avadim Haginu. We have Avadim Haginu, and we also have Mitzvah of the Avadim Zarahai Avadim, because we are discussing both Gu'ulas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Okay. Next. Maestro Rebbe Eliezer. The story of the five Chachamim in Bnei Brak. Again, many questions are asked on this this paragraph. The one that we'll deal with is based on a Gemara in Brachas, which is not in your packet. The Gemara in Brachas on that test tells us that Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva had a machlokes. Until when did one eat the carbon pesach? And the Rav ben Azariah holds until chatzos. That's why we're mach here. Lahalacha, it is a suffix. And that's why, what's the whole chatzos, chatzos, you gotta finish by chatzos, because this year is 1256. Most of us shouldn't have any problem. So what's chatzos? Because there's a suffix, who to pass, you like? Is the current Pesach eaten until hafikomen, which is the last thing you have to eat, parallel to the current Pesach? Do you have to eat that by chatzos or by morning? We're not sure who the paskin like. Maybe like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because that's what chatzos. That's why we have to paskin, we have to finish it by chatzos. But anyway, that's what Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds. The current Pesach is only eaten until chatzos. The task that they asked is he was one of these five chachamim. And what were they doing? They were talking about Hebrew Sears is dry him. Until when? Till the morning. What do you mean? According to him, the mitzvah ended 6 hours ago. So what's he doing? Everything is linked to the carbon pesach. So if the mitzvah finished by at 12 o'clock, at 12:56, the hours he's still talking about, Tiber Tzvi Mitzrayim, you know, all the way until the next morning. He was one of those chachamim. That's the question. Number of answers given. One of them is that, based on another question, that who cares where they were sitting? The Haggadah specifically tells us they were in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was the city of Rabbi Akiva. He was the Mara D'Astra. So maybe that's one reason. But he was Kafos. He was Kafos to the Mara D'Astra. Mara D'Astra held it until the morning. So, even though he was Mavadah Huzah, and he held like Rabbi Akiva. That's one answer. A second answer, which we'll mention, but we'll talk more about again on Shabbat. So just mention it quickly. And that is the Emet Bracha, which you have in front of you, from Anshik. So he says maybe he wasn't doing Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim before Chatzos. Before Chatzos he was doing Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was the uniqueness of the Pesach night. After that he was doing Zechira Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah every day. He said the third parsha of Kriya Shema. That's every day. That's not limited to Chatzos. We'll talk more on Shabbos about the difference between Sipur and Zechira. That's another answer. A final answer given, and this is given by the Meshech Chachma, which is, you don't have to write it on the page. The Meshech Chachma says, what was the last thing that we just said in the previous paragraph? The end of Avodah Maginah. Oh, my will stop our Harez and Meshubach. Try to be whatever, the more the merrier, in terms of Sibri Gitzin's Ryan. If you have to do a mitzvah, would the Haggadah use that language? right? Kol ha-marbet, to put on tefillin every day, hari zeh meshubah. What do you mean? Something you have to do. That's meshubah? Okay, great to do a mitzvah, but l'chore is somewhat strange for something you have to do for the Haggadah to say, that's praiseworthy. If you're marbet, hari zeh meshubah. It says the Mishnah Chachma, Daska after that line in the Haggadah of the Kol ha-marbet, hari zeh meshubah, it brings the story of Rav Moshe ben Azariah, who, according to him, the mitzvah finished already, but he still went 6 hours more, because he was going to log his man ha-mitzvah. You're right, it wasn't the time for the mitzvah, but that's the point. That's the raya of Kol ha-marbet l'chaper, hari zeh meshubah. Because otherwise, what's meshubah? This is what you have to do. And the Brisker Rav once noted, there's a great minhag you saw, wonderful, the other temple we were making it last year, we'll do this year, to stay up all night on shul. Yep, all night learning, wonderful. That's a minhag. The Shulchan Aruch, halacha, says, the Shulchan Aruch says that on Pesach night, you can't go to sleep, you have to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, ad shechatzenim shena, until sleep overtakes you. And then, but we all stay up on Shulchan night and we go to sleep on Pesach night. So he says, wonderful Shulchan, but everybody's got it mixed up. Okay, so the time, the general always says, you know, we get the Sahara, the Sahara says, yeah, stay up another 3 hours. Let's see how your shot is. You know, so we always have to keep that in mind as well. But in general, to give it our all until we reach the stage, you know, we always have to keep that in mind. But anyway, so that's the Mishnah Chachma's shot that Dafka, the story is brought, it was beyond the Zman of the Chiyuv, and in that way, that illustrated the line of Kol ha-marbet, harei zeh meshubah. Okay, that is on Maisa. The next paragraph in the Haggadah is the one about Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. According to many, this is connected. In some Haggadahs, the girsa is Amar Lahem Rav Elazar ben Azariah, which means in the conversation that night, Rav Elazar ben Azariah told them this Mishnah of Arei Ani Karei Shem Shana, and he talks about the three rest you see us in Mitzrayim. There's this one nice idea I saw in the commentator's Haggadah. There's a couple of Haggadahs in English. They're very good. The commentator's Seder, commentator's Haggadah, commentator's all the, there are a number of, he has the commentator's Rosh Chodesh, the commentator's Al-Hanisim, there's a lot of stuff, Defender is his name. You have that one right there. So they're all very nice quotes from all over. Hasidim, Misnagdim, everything. So he, on page 10, maybe he quotes the Talmud or whatever. Okay, so on page 10, he just has one thought about what the point is of the Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Okay, great, God took us out of Mitzrayim, and it was a great event, but why should we have to think of it, remind ourselves of it every day? He quotes a story of the Rebbe of Alexandria. Malcolm, is that? Okay, Talmud of the Chasam. So the Rebbe of Alexandria, he writes a story, I was asking, not that, I wasn't testing. So the custom of Rebbe Alexander, okay, Chan once came to take leave of his Rebbe before going on a long journey. The Rebbe requested that he bring him back a pipe from the place from where he was going. The custom readily promised to do so, but in the course of his journey, he forgot the Rebbe's request and returned, many months later without the pipe. As he was getting ready to visit his Rebbe, he suddenly remembered and ran to a tobacconist and there purchased the most expensive pipe he could find. When he presented it, the Rebbe remarked, the pipe is very nice, but it's not from the place I asked you to bring it from. The chassid made many excuses, defend himself. This is a better pipe. I was involved there. I was busy, etc. I didn't even have a spare moment. The Rebbe replied gently, do you really think that I wanted your gift or that I needed the pipe? When I asked you to bring me back the pipe from where you were going, I wanted you to remember when you were in a faraway land that you had a Rebbe, right? That I'm here thinking about you. That's all. That's the only reason I asked you to bring me back. Like, you think I really wanted the pipe? I wanted you to think about me when you were there, wherever you are. It says the Resender, the daughter of the Haggadah, maybe that's the chat also with the Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, from his point of view, he doesn't need us to be reminded that, you know, he took us out of Mitzrayim. But for us, so we remember that God loves us. And if you remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out and cares for us each and every day, that's why every single day and every single night, that's the whole point that we say the third parasha of Kriya Shema. Why do we say the third parasha day and night? Because the mitzvah of the Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim. So may the point of the Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim, we always have to remember it from our point of view, to make us realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in constant protection of us and shadowing us. That's one thought on that parsha of that paragraph of Amar Blazer Ben Azari. Okay, next. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shas HaTorah L'Ama Yisrael. So we say one thought not in your packet, and one thought in your packet, which I said outside before, but I wanted to give it to you inside. One of the tremendous idea. First, Baruch Hamakom. So the issue here is, it sounds like this is a Birchas HaTorah. Baruch Shas HaTorah L'Ama Yisrael, Baruch Hamakom. Like, why are we making a Birchas HaTorah in the middle of the Seder? We said Birchas HaTorah every morning. Now it seems like we're making another one. Baruch Shanas HaTorah L'Amo Yisrael. Why do we need a Birchas HaTorah here? So the Rav, I think it was from before him, like base brisk. Somebody before him in that family said that whenever we encounter and whenever we're about to embark on a new type of Talmud Torah, that requires a Birchas HaTorah. For example, again, there aren't so many examples. But one example is when a person gets an aliyah. You know, a person gets an aliyah, so he says Birchas HaTorah in the morning. So what do you say Birchas HaTorah again for right before the aliyah? The answer is, now he's about to do Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, or Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, which is a form of learning, public communal learning. So he's about to do this different form of Talmud Torah, make a new Birchas HaTorah, as a recognition that this Talmud Torah that he's about to do is different. So, says base risk, so too we're about to, this is the beginnings of Hebrew Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a unique mitzvah just for the night of Pesach, and it's specifically done in a Limud Torah way. Questions and answers, drushes from Sukkot, that's a unique, a different form of Talmud Torah that we have the rest of the year. So that's Machayah, the Birchas HaTorah. That's why we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, parallel to the Aliyah, the parallel to the bracha that we make on the Aliyah. That's one thought on Baruch HaMakom. Another thought, which I said, I think, in last Shabbat, or two Shabbat ago, on page 11, this is from the Beis HaLevi Haggadah, bothered by what the word Keneged is doing in the middle of that paragraph. The Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas HaTorah, Ramo Yisrael, Keneged Arba Avanim Dibra Torah. Opposite the four sons. There seems to be a connection between the Torah and the four sons. So some Rishonim, you know, say it doesn't, not really connected, don't worry about that word, but obviously we want to worry about it. So on that, the Beis HaLevi has the idea that we mentioned before, page 11 in the middle. The Dior Hemshech HaDavar Nireh, the Hinev HaChachma Ta'olah, like every other field in the world, Sifrei HaLimud Shel Osa HaChachma Shalom Debabu Chulakim Modargo. You have accounting books, you have chemistry books, you have any type of field books, engineering books. There's beginner books, there's intermediate, there's advanced, there's graduate, there's postgraduate. You know, everything, all material is in different forms, in different stages. The first grade math, the second grade math, etc. With Khanim, Umaskirim, the Yefren Rachis Akhma, as an extra bakalus, the Asadan Palome. Right? The easier textbooks are written for the younger learners. Okay, so Gomer, paper there, then you get to the next stage. Lomi Sefer, Kasha Yosef Akhain Hala. But when it comes to the Torah, it's not sure. How about the Torah? What's the magic of the Torah? Hare oso hachumish, bo gomei hayaled, hamasko b'limad hachumish. The same exact Rashi that the first grader is learning, the biggest Rashi Shiva sitting for the 30 years is learning that same Rashi. Gam ha'anak ha'torah mishamik ha'omobo. And everybody gets whatever they get out of the Rashi. Oh, echad masik oso hachumish v'yasagasahu. The dover zehu mean it flows ha'torah. This is the magic of the Torah. The same material. So no jargon. So, where else do you have such a thing? You can read the same thing, the same issues. Everybody gets different things from it. But that's Keneged Arbaa Avanim Dibra Torah. The Torah is Keneged. The Torah is for everybody. On their own level. The Tam, the Rasha, the Chacham. The Torah is for everybody. Somebody told me today that he once heard a quote, you know, from this verse. The first grader, you know, with the same intensity of saying, I got the Rashi. The 95-year-old Tom Buckham is saying, I still don't understand the Rashi. You know, the same thing he says, you know, everybody on their own level. But that's the magic of the Torah, says Reb Chaim. That's the Haggad Ababa. Okay. The Dalad Bunim himself. The Dalad Bunim himself. Two thoughts on the Dalad Bunim. Actually, maybe two and a short one. In Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Sefer, one of his farm, Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind, he has a whole chapter devoted to special children. I think even more than one chapter. That pinnacle of special children and other issues. And in that context, he says that really, again, not shot, but maybe an additional level of interpretation, is that the four sons aren't four separate individuals. But really what they are four stages of development in every human being. What does that mean? A careful analysis on page 12. A careful analysis of the discussion of the Arba Banim will reveal that the four sons correspond to the various stages through which children pass in maturing. Individuals, as they mature, must pass through the stages of infantilism, dependence, and independence. The Sheini of the Alishol corresponds to the state of infantilism. Some children pass through four stages. Let's get down to the next paragraph. The first stage in the life of a child is infantilism. Babies lying in their cribs cannot differentiate between themselves and others. Everything is part of that great oceanic feeling that includes themselves, their cribs, and their mothers who feed them. Babies at this age have no consciousness of themselves as individuals. She'enu yodea lishol. First stage of a baby, nothing. Just my mother's milk and me. I don't know what to ask. I don't know anything about me. That's it. That's the first stage. All of a sudden, the second stage, the one of dependence. What are the most famous words a 3-year-old ask? What's this? Mazos. What's this? Tom. The second stage, one of dependence. Children come to recognize that they are different from other people. Many of our children realize who they are, and they realize that there are others who are more powerful than they, so they're not happy about that. They are dependent upon others for food, warmth, love, and protection. At this stage, children feel especially dependent upon their fathers, whom they consider to be omniscient, and of whom they ask all questions. Most of the time of the form, what is this, as the Tom says in the Haggadah. So the second stage is the dependent stage. Still, they can't do anything themselves. They realize that. Then, as children get ready to stand on their feet, some children, hopefully not as many as we would like, but sometimes they pass through the stage of resentment. Right? Which is, they think they can do it all, but, you know, they're misinformed. Right? And finally, you get to the stage of independence. That's what he says. That really the four sons are not really labeling any specific child as a Russia, as a Tom, but they're all four different stages of life. But the punchline of all this is that really, in the final last paragraph, he says, we all have a little bit of all these four sons inside of each of us. We have a little Shane here in the show, we have a little Tom, we have a little Russia, and we have a little Kasa. The only difference between any of us is what's more manifest. That's the context what he's talking about, that special children, they might have Sheini of the Alishol more manifest on the outside, but they also have Chacham inside. And they also have Chacham inside, we might not see it. It says the Rav Aaron also gives us an insight in that we don't have to, you know, I remember I once said this about 10 years ago, speaking just informally, and said, okay, I love that fact. He just thinks somebody's a Russia. Somebody's a Russia, one of the kids is a Russia. So at least according to this thought, you know, it's really, we all have the all four stages, and we're talking to each one of us. We have to control it. That's what he says. The truth is that these stages overlap. No child passes completely from the stage of infantilism into the stage of dependence. We're all babies, somewhat, in some areas. Or from the stage of dependence into the stage of resentment. Right? So that is something that maybe the Dalai Lama aren't four individuals, but they're really four stages of development which overlap and which never leave a person totally. Having this in the Haggadah. We'll talk about it on Shabbos. We only have an hour on Shabbos, right? So we're over time. Let's see. What? An hour and 5 minutes. That's the start on time. Okay. So that is the, hopefully. Okay. No, anytime it says, you know, like on wedding invitations, promptly, you know, you're in here. Okay, so that is one thought on the Dalai Lama. Whatever we get to. Okay, that's one thought. A second thought on the Dalai Lama. This is something that I've said before at Shalom Shidduch a few months ago, but I gave it to you so you'll be able to say it over here. This I heard from Rav Melech Schechter, Herschel Schechter's father. I got to drive him in the car to Brooklyn last year every week, so he told me this thought. Pesach. If you look in the Haggadah, the Chacham question is, Maha Eidus Vachukim Asher Siva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. Right, what are all these laws that Hashem commanded you? And then when we get to the Russia, it says, Maha Voda Hazos Lachem. And we blast him. He says, Lachem for you! Lachem below! Whoa! He was Hoti as Akum and Akal. He took himself out of the Pari Israel. So we say, hey, you know, get out of Haki Atina. You know, whatever interpretation that means. So the question that the Rav Schaffner asked is, again, earlier sources as well, and that is, why are we getting so upset at the Russia? He says, well, Chem. Chacham also said, ask them. Also said, you. No, it's so bad. Okay, there's different words, but both of them are saying, what are you doing? What are these laws that you have? What are these laws? So what's the difference? Why are we jumping on the Russia and not jumping on the Chacham? So, Rav Schaffner, the answer is that the Chacham added in one word. Hashem. He said, what's the godless of saying Hashem's name? Ezra Schaffner, the second that you say somebody's name, you're giving them chashivas. You ever call somebody by their last name and by their first name? It's a little different. Call them by their first name, that's already giving them, being mocked at them a little more. You know, that's just say, hey, Roger. You know, when we're kids, you know, when we're playing ball, you know, we use last name. But in general, first names are more coveted. The first name shows an ahava. First name shows an identification with the person. Two riots to that idea. Story of the Miraglin. So Rashi, I'm sure that many of us have read over and over again, and this question is in the back of our head, but it never gets to the point of asking. And that is, if you remember the story, Kalev and Yeshua come back to the Matanah, and everybody's saying bad things, and Kalev gets up on the chair and says, you know what this guy did for us? This Moshe Rabbeinu, and everybody says, yeah, what did he do? You tell him, Kalev. And the Torah read the Rashi quotes, and he all thought he was going to say something bad. So he said, you know what he did? And he gets up, you know what he did? He gave us some man, and he gave us some medair, and he wonderful things. The question is, why did they think he was going to say something bad about Moshe Rabbeinu? This was a tzaddik. This Kalev, Yeshua. No, was the way he talked? Do you know what this guy did? But look at the lashon that Rashi said. The bottom of the page. Vayahas Kalev, says the pasuk. Right, he silenced him. So what does the pasuk say? V'chizu bilvad asalanu ben Amram. Right? Is you know what Ben Amram did for us? Hashomeya hayasabur shabbat osabur b'kunsa. Why? He didn't say Moshe. He called him Ben Amram. He called him Ben Amram. Hey, this guy's on our side. This guy's going to talk badly of him. You don't say his name, because that shows that there's not a covet. No Hashim. That's example number one that we have. Why did Rashi say Ben Amram? What does Rashi call Moshe Ben Amram? That's the point here. That's how Kalev got everybody quiet. That's how he was like, Yahat Kalev. He silenced them by using the term Ben Amram instead of Moshe. That's number one. Number two, a second place where we see this occurred is amazingly Diyukim in HaTorah for Machar Chodesh. The story of Yonatan and Shaul. Yehonatan, of course, being the son of Shaul, the whole story, that's the example, by the way, the love of Yehonatan and David is the example that it says in Kirk Yavos and Abbas and Sluyuba David. The whole, a great year to think about what love is about, is about the Major Shmuel and Kirk Yavos said, you know, it was totally illogical. Yehonatan was the heir to the throne. You know, he was the son of Shaul. So the more he helped out David, the more he was losing his own mouth. But still, he was helping him, so this is, he had tremendous love for him. But in the story, where they're having a Rosh Chodesh party, that's why we read it, Machar Chodesh, and Shaul HaMelech asks Yonatan, where's David? Where's that guy? And Yonatan says, I don't know, he's out of the field. And Shaul says, come on, where is he? He didn't come yesterday, he didn't come today, and back and forth, trying to figure out where he is. But if you look at the conversation, it's very telling. It says page 14, it says on Pasuk Chaf Zayin, the second day, they talking about David, and they looked in David's seat. It was empty. It said reserved for David. It wasn't there. By Yomer Shaul, Yonatan Beno, Maduel Oba Ben Yishai, Gam Tamo Gam Hayom El Halachem. Where's Ben Yishai? Where is that guy? Well, it's Ben Yishai. Very next pasuk. By Yan Yonatan Shaul, Yonatan answers Shaul, Yishol Nishal David Meimadi Adi Halachem. Until it's pointed out, we don't realize what's going on here. Shaul calls him Ben Yishai. Yonatan says, what do you mean? My friend David? Oh, he's not here. Next project continues. So, Fenina, get him here. He's my brother. I don't want to cause him any problems. Next project, by Yishai Shaul, by Yonatan. Shaul got mad at Yonatan. You're going to lose the mouth because of him. How are you, Dati? He broke her out with Ben Yishai. He called him and said, Ben Yishai, yeah. Shaul keeps calling him Ben Yishai. He doesn't have car, he doesn't have any love for him. He doesn't have any honor for him. He calls him that. Yonatan calls his other name. There's a chapter that's shot in the Zalat Barnes. The Chacham mentions the same Hashem. not just Sam, he's a firmer person. He meant to say Hashem. But mentioning the name shows an ahava, shows an affinity, shows an identification. So once that's true, that's why we don't get mad at the Chacham, and we only get mad at the Rasha. Okay, that takes us through the valid fun. Continuing right along in package, the next packet.
Well, I'm going to do some what we can.
I have one. The next one. I do this so you can take it to the Seder. And it's tonight, so you can take it home and take it to the Seder.
No coloring? No.
Uh-huh. I can make more. I can bring them on. Okay, let's continue a little more. Okay, just again, we're running out of time. We'll see how much we. Okay, we'll do a little as much as we can. And if you don't get to it, you'll have it. You'll have it to look at yourself. Okay, Yochum Erisposik. That's the next paragraph. Okay, all the paragraphs we've done up until now, usually our kids take care of. You know, these are the ones. You get into the Yochum Erisposik and Baruch Shomer. That's where you want to move the Seder along. That's where, you know, there's the man from the board. You know, who's got Boris on Baruch Shomer? That's what you gotta, you know, that's what to get on Echad Miyodea. You know, you gotta, okay, who wants to, usually I try to say something and then my whole family says, no. That's how they say, yeah, they said enough already. But yeah, there's second Seder. Okay, so Yochum Erech Kodesh. So the 2 points on Yochum Erech Kodesh. So what is Yochum Erech Kodesh? Obviously, what does it mean? This is a mitzvah, a medrash. Yochum Erech Kodesh. I might think that the mitzvah of TBC is to try and start from Erech Kodesh. Nisan, Kamalomer by Yomahu. No, the Torah says on this day. It doesn't start from Erech Kodesh. Iba Yomahu, Yochum Erech Yom. I might think it starts earlier in the day. And why? Because that's the time of the testing of the Torah Pesach on Erech Pesach. Kamalomer by Averzeh. No, the mitzvah is only when you're sitting there with your matzah and your maror. So the main question that's asked on this medrash is, what's the hava mina? You might have thought that you could do sefer yetzias mitzrayim before Pesach. Nowhere do we have. You might have thought you could take a lulav a week before Pesach, a week before Sukkot. You might have thought to light the menorah in the middle of a cheshvan. You know what? What do you mean? You might have thought. What do you mean? It's not Pesach. It's not Pesach. What do you mean? I might have thought that I could do the mitzvah then. TBC is designed as a mitzvah of Pesach. So what exactly is the hava mina? So again, number of answers given. We'll do one from Rav Soloveitchik. Page 1 and 2. He points to the well-known Rambam in the beginning of Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chamitzu Matzah. The bottom right of the page. Dinei Rambam Kasav, the Yalkino Moshen Zohar, Jafir, Gabi Mitzvah, Shibur, Shias Mitzrayim, Dekrod, Zohar, Seyam, Azeh, Shetotim Mitzrayim, The Rambam in his formulation says it's a mitzvah to do sefer yetzias mitzrayim just like zohar shemon shabbos. And everybody jumps. What's the Rambam talking about? What's the connection between sefer yetzias mitzrayim and zohar shemon shabbos? There's been many, many bottles of ink spilled on this Rambam. You have what the pshat is, the connection between sefer yetzias mitzrayim and shabbos. So the just say time, I'll say it outside, but you have it in front of you. Rav said maybe the pshat is based on the Rambam of Torah, which we discussed in September time. Rambam of Torah spoke about when does the mitzvah of Chavit Shabbat start? The mitzvah of Chavit Shabbat starts before Shabbat. The mitzvah of Chavit Shabbat is the more you prepare for something beforehand, the more it's meaningful for you. Right? The Hillel and Shammai, the Gemara in Beis said, oh, what's something on Sunday? Oh, what a yummy thing. I'm going to save this for Shabbat. Everything's looking forward to Shabbos. Everything has that in mind. But coming Shabbos starts earlier. And the more we do beforehand, the more chashivas we're giving Shabbos, the more we're showing that we love Shabbos. So maybe that's the parallel. Yochum Erech Kodesh. Yochum Erech Kodesh, I might have thought that just like Shabbos, I start beforehand. Just like I say the Yom every morning. And according to the Ramban, that's a key of the mitzvah d'oraisa. Of the saying, Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos. I don't just say Sunday. I say Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos. According to the Ramban, it's part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Chilas Shabbos. So too the Hava Mina is, so too on Pesach. I might have thought Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the day that, you know, things got started. That's the day they were commanded to take the animal, take the staff. So maybe that is the Hava Mina, based on the connection to the Shabbos. There is just thought number two on this paragraph. It's just a machlokas achronim between the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon, which applies to the Shabbos. Know that the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning, in the Tav The Rama says there's a minhag, it's mincha time, it's Shabbos, Shabbos Haggadah, to save the Haggadah from Avada Maginu through Lachapra Kol Avonah Seim. That's what the Rama says. Most explain that to mean, you know, to get you into it. You know, because if you do it for the first time Pesach night, you know, it's not going to be as meaningful. Baruch Hashem, we're going through it tonight, so we're going to be prepared. Similar, not exactly, but why the Nitzid says the Ikar Megillah is by Yom and not by Laila. Because by Laila is the first time, you're remembering the story, by Yom you already heard it already, so now you can think of wonder when you hear the Megillah. That's when the Nitzid says on the Gemara Megillah, that's out. But the Rama says that's the minute. The Vilna Gaon, in a very short comment, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, Rama's wrong. Agadah Rama's wrong. Yochum Erechodesh. The Medrash that we say in the Haggadah. What does the Haggadah say? You might have heard from Erechodesh. No, by Yom Ahu. You might have thought from earlier in the day. No, by who is that? The mitzvah only when you have Matzah Mar in front of you. The Brach says, so what are you doing Shabbos after the Shabbos Haggadah afternoon? This Mechilta, says the Brach, says you shouldn't say the Haggadah beforehand. In other words, there's a machlokas between the Rama and the Vilna Gaon. What does this Mechilta mean? When it says that the Tzidkei Yisrael is only the Shah, Shishmato, Mar, Munacham, Mepanecha, does that mean the obligation is only at night, but you're allowed to start earlier if you wanted to? Or the obligation is at night and it's forbidden to start earlier? It's Baltosis. You're adding on to the Mitzvah. Taking a little of that to the Tzidkei. So that seems to be the machlokas. Is that the Chokah just saying that there's no chiyuv, or that there is no heter to say for him? That's just a halakha ma'aseh machlokas, machlokas between the Rama and the Vilna Gaon. To say the Haggadah, which is specifically a theme of Sefer. That would be the problem. But just to talk about it, again, I have to be the chief of my side, because it's not so useful under darshan, but, right, I'm saying that the formula, the Haggadah itself, as part of the Kanish Chazal, had to fulfill secret to shrine. So that's why that we would just only go with David to stay away. Okay, we'll do one or two more, so they'll start a little late, Okay. Let's talk about, I gave you the Rama. The Rama is underlined on top. Avada Maginu to Lachapra Kol Avonah Seinu, and the Bir Halacha quotes the Vilna Gaon. The Bir Halacha right on page 3 quotes the Gro. Mitzvah Obey Avodah Zarah. Let's at least do some of the less talked about paragraphs. Mitzvah Obey Avodah Zarah. So if you read the paragraph, it talks about your Obey Avodah Zarah, and Avram Avinu was mentioned. And it also says in there, the Etzem or Esav is hard sayer. You throw it Esav discussion in. Talk about Esav got his portion of land. The Rivka Rav is bothered. Why do we have to mention that in the Haggadah? We're talking about us. We're talking about Am Yisrael. You know, we're supposed to highlight and we're Zasma, we're reliving it. Why do we have to mention the fact that Esav got Har Seir? What does that add to our appreciation of the night? So the Rivka Rav, on page 4, he's quoted, says that if you look in the Torah, the Torah says right after number 19, La'avram Avinu Nelmar B'Rishman Avatarim Lazaracha Nasati Sa'arat Azov. Right, Avram Avinu was promised that so the land is going to go to his Zerah. Who is the Zerah of Abraham? Obviously, you have two choices, right? You have Yishmael and Yitzchak. The Chazal say, on the other, Moishmael and Yitzchak. Zerah ki b'yitzchak nishar l'chazar. Fine. So Yitzchak is the next step. So then Yitzchak has a promise. But Yitzchak also has two kids. So which is it going to be? So that's not Mefurish in the Torah. Right? That was Elo Mefurish by Torah. But there was a simon given. A simon given to Avraham Avinu. You know what the simon was? The nation that goes into subjugation, the nation that is an Eretz Lo Lahem, that group of people is gonna my Am Hanivkar. The one that just gets their property and they live the Sheked Ubashalva, you know, so then that's the one that's not included. So says the Rikarab, this is quoted from a Mirsky Haggadah. I gave it to you in there. So he says that's why we had mentioned Esav. He said, Esav got his land, meaning he's not the one. That's part of our Haftacha. Part of our Haftacha was fulfilled based on the fact that Esav wasn't subject to living in an Eretz Lo Lahem. That's what Esav has to do with us. We're not just interested in saying he got his portion, but he gave Esav our Seir, and in that way, the Mela, we were shown to be the Am HaNitzchar, the Zochet to go into Eretz Yisrael. That is one thought on the Kibbutz of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, just one or two more, and then we'll wrap it. Baruch Shomer has the puzzle of Yisrael. So we, if you look in the paragraph, so we say Baruch Shomer has the puzzle of Yisrael. We thank him for the Shomer of the Kibbutz promise that he was Machashiv the Tate. And again, we talk about Avram Avinu, the Rishmen Abbasorim, Yadoah Teza, Kieres Arafadar, Hesel Lohem. So the question that is asked by some, and here I gave you, this is from the commentator Seder, not from the commentator Haggadah, that's on page 5 of your packet. The commentator Seder, he asked, why are we focusing so much on Avram Avinu? Yes, that's the beginning. We mentioned before, Baskel B'Gnus. Well, you already said Baskel B'Gnus. Emphasis on Avram Avinu. Now, why are we focusing so much on that group? So he suggests, he quotes the Rav, who gave the following answer. And that is, he has another question. Why Miriam HaNeviah was zochet to have a whole parsha written for her? You know, after Rosh Yashir, the whole other, you know, three sukkim, but it's a whole separate parsha, written how Miriam sung with the women, she was like a tzika ogah. So why was she zochet to an entire parsha in the Torah? So we ask this a lot. Why was Yisro zochet? Why was Balak, parsha was named for him? Why was Miriam HaNeviah zochet? So says the Rav, on page, the bottom of page 5, like 5 lines up, he answers that by affording her such importance, the Torah teaches us a fundamental principle. It was Miriam who prophesied about her brother Moshe that he would be the one to lead B'nai Yisrael. But she was the one, that Chazal say, that she was being Mitznada, in Mitzrayim, my little brother is going to be the one. He's going to take us out. Boom, what happens? Everybody sees. The mother puts him into a little raft and sends him bye-bye. Right? Who knows if he's going to come back alive? Meaning her nebuah is being shattered in her face. Her nebuah is being subject to challenges of reality. And yet, when he was taken from his parents and cast into the river, Chazal tells us that he was taunted and ridiculed because of her prophecy, page 6. The Torah tells us that she followed Moshe to the bank and watched him, and she kept hope. She was so convinced that her prophecy would be fulfilled that she followed him in order to see how Hashem would bring it about. Because of her great faith against seemingly overwhelming evidence to the contrary, we honor her with her own parsha. What's the message of mirroring her own parsha? The message of titzah and having emunah in the face of things that don't seem to be going in our favor. Right? Even if at the moment of realization they no longer stand at the forefront of events. That's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, the one who was makar kodesh baruch, whatever age. Not focused be shown, in 3, 48, whatever. But whatever age he was, his father was Novid Avodah Zarah. Everybody around was Novid Avodah Zarah. And he all of a sudden, he had a controversy, he had emunah, he realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knew, and even though he knew that his descendants would go into an Eretz Lohan, he kept his emunah. Maybe that's why, says the Rav, we focus so much on Avram Avinu in the Haggadah. Okay, one or two more? Yeah, we're okay. If anybody has to leave, feel free to, I have stars for Mithira's coming. We'll do it after. Just a few, if anybody didn't do it yet. Just a few more thoughts. Vahisha Amda, right, that's the next paragraph. Vahisha Amda. So the big question is, what's the Vahisha? What's the Vahisha Amda? So we'll talk about one of the aspects, again, on Shabbos. But one thought that's said between the Mesha Chachma, I didn't find this inside, but I saw it quoted a few places in the Mesha Chachma, and that is Vahisha Amda, the minhag is to lift up the wine. Lift up the wine, Vahisha Amda. For whatever reason, Rokeach says, do it, even if you don't know why, just do it. So we lift up the wine for Vahisha Amda. That's why, by the way, we cover the masses. Whenever we lift up the, it's easy to remember, we have to look it up. You cover the masses, then you lift up the wine, you cover the masses. Whenever you don't put down the wine, you uncover the masses. So you have to say everything on the masses, less than only. But, as a parallel to why we usually cover the powers, and less than it's covered, so it's not misbinding, it's one of the three reasons we discussed. So too, the Yisra Amda, lift up the wine, cover the masses. But, some masses, don't worry. So it says, even though there's a chumrah that Ramosha Soloveitchik once went through the Haggadah and then he his whole wine spilled towards the end of Maggid, he started again. Because he thought that you have to use the coat that you're using has to be the coat that he said Maggid on. He spilled out the end and he did the whole Haggadah again. Okay, but anyway, so what's the Vehi? So the Shayna and Shahakma, they say, is the Vehi, this wine. This has what has helped us out through the generations. What's the wine? Rechapa, the wine is symbolic of all the gzeros to Rabbanon that were made to keep us separate from the non-Jews. At the forefront, Stam Yena, Yain Esad, Vihi, the wine, what Chazal did to the wine, they kept us separate. They kept us, you know, away from them. That's the only reason we're still around. What? On Yain Esad, yes, I owe you one. Put it on the list. So says the, right after Bishul Atam. Right. So the, I don't think he's the women Bishul Atam, but Tansi so it says in Mesa Chachma that maybe that's what's being alluded to in the Isha Amda, the reason that we're able to stay alive throughout all of these Goliaths, these terrible Goliaths, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that we have all these Tachanos to keep us separate. And that's just something that, again, sorry, we're going to get back to the Shabbos, Chaim Elijah has a great quote, worth repeating, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, a guy makes Abdullah. So that's, we'll get back to that on Shabbos. For Chaim Elijah. It has to do a little bit with that, but that's the reason that we were kept separate, to try to keep us separate. Number two on the Hishamda, this is in on page 7. Bakar Sparku Maskirenu Miyadam. Wine is simple because we can't drink wine with the other nations. Yeah, and that's like a Samyena. So again, Ho Abakum, Bishalakum, Pasakum, all those. There are a lot of differences between them. Why Pasakum has a lot more coolest, most is already talking about. Okay. So, next. But Kaddish Baruch Hu Maskirenu Miyadam. So, there's a Haggadah I have at home, Gedolei Yisrael. Haggadah quotes a lot of Achronim from 200 years ago. So, here it quotes Maharshim, it doesn't quote it with Trump, that maybe we're not just saying when Hashem saves us, that Sami saves us from all our enemies. But a lot of times, Kaddish Baruch Hu works it out, that he saves us through the same method that they wanted to punish us with. So for example, the tree that Haman built. Dafka, the tree that Haman thought he was going to get Mordechai on, right, he got hung on. From their hands. From their hands. Not just from their general hands, but Dafka from their handiwork. What they wanted to do with their hands, but the Kerkel uses them to bring us the Hatzolah. Dafka, they thought that throwing all the boys into the river is gonna help them. You know, the Moshiach of Yisrael is gone. No, Bas Paro is going to take them out of the river. And that's going to lead to the Yeshua. Because he does the same thing with Haman. And then Dafka, right, he thought the horse was going to be for him he's going to ride on, and Dafka Shrepa turned it around, and that led to the ultimate Ge'ula. So Shrepa, like, going to be Yadam, the Dafka from what they were trying to do. Okay, let's just see one more. Which one should we pick? I don't have a fan from the Odeya. Okay. Oh, two more little thoughts. Okay, you have it all in front of you. It's the ones that I don't do. Let's think about the Makos for a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, two more. Page 10. This is very interesting my focus, but it's also important for all the doctors here. And that is Vayaro Lokimus Bnei Yisrael Vayenda Lokim. The Pasuk says in Shmos, right? That God saw the Jews and God knew us Vayenda Lokim. So what are those two words adding? Hashem saw Bnei Yisrael and he knew us. So the measures of that passage, you know what it means? It means that the Malachim were saying, Allah will be about Azara, Allah will be about Azara. The other Jews will be about Azara. So what are you redeeming the Jews for? Because Baruch Hu says, I know them. So that helps out a little bit, but we still have to go to the next step. What's the shot of that? That he knew, so we were all be about Azara. But the Beis HaLevi explains, and this is from the Beis HaLevi Al HaTorah. That's what it's come from, Sefer Shmos, based on this pasuk. And that is that the halacha that we spent a lot of time on actually in Subis, that's onik. I do an act of onik. If I am forced to do something, says the Beis HaLevi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only says I have the exemption of onik if I wouldn't have done it had I not been forced. In other words, if the only reason I'm doing Avodah Zarah is because I was forced to do it, I was forced to be in the shrine for 210 years, so then, you know, then I have the pure of onus. If I grew up with it, it's okay, it doesn't count. But if I would do the Avera anyway, without the onus, I just happen to be onus, you don't have the pure, if you were going to violate anyway. So that's the pshat, and we'll see where this has alakol ma'isa in a minute. But that's the pshat of the Beis Aliyah. This puzzle. By Yeda, okay, Hakadosh Baruch Hu saw. Yes, everybody was over there, but but Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that the dream was doing it, bam! God had a brought them. They like to be able to have a desire. But the Jews will become Oneis. And Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that if Israel hadn't been the Oneis, they wouldn't have been able to have a desire. That's by Yehza Elohim. And he knew. And he knew that. That's the basic meaning. Based on this shot, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasva Paskins as follows. Quote the Beit HaLevi Al HaKot. And actually, it's a form of Zalman. Put in the Shmir Shabbos. He says, let's say I'm a poor doctor, and I'm scheduled to be on call on Shabbos. Is it better for me to switch with a non-Frum resident? After all, he should be doing Malacha anyway, so he might as well do it in the hospital. And so he's doing Malacha. So let him be doing Malacha in the hospital. So then, you know, he'll be violating with Sarah Pikuach Nefesh. You know, maybe he'll have some adherent that way. Better for him to drive to the hospital. Why drive to the golf course? You know, it's better to drive to the hospital, and then that'll at least be Sarah Pikuach Nefesh. And if you look in the Igros Moshe, Moshe says, Inachinami. The Moshe Paskin, which calls with an non-Frum resident, is good. Better than doing it yourself. Because after all, he's doing Malacha anyway. Says the Shlomo Zalman, based on the Beis HaLevi, no good. The only time you have the Ptur of owning, the only time that we say you're not being Mechal Shabbos, is if you're doing it because you wouldn't do it anyway. If you're being forced to do an Aveira, and if you want to do the Aveira without being forced, so then we say that, you know, it doesn't count. But as the Shlomo says to Beis HaLevi, if they would do the Aveira anyway, so they don't call that Onis. So Shlomo Zalman does the same thing. They're going to be Mechal Shabbos anyway. Just because they're in the hospital doesn't make it any better. They're not doing a mitzvah. You do it, says the Shlomo Zalman. You're doing the mitzvah if you go a chesed. You're doing Mechal Shabbos as a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. You're owning. But my focus is your emotion of Shlomo Zalman. I'll offer the mitzvah, what you're supposed to do in that circumstance. So it's all based on the Beis HaLevi on Vayedav Elohim. Okay, that's one thought. And then finally, let's do one last one. And that is on page 12. Just to remind you of one thought on the Makos that we mentioned a few months ago, and that is remember the stipler's verse about Ka'as and the frogs. Remember the frogs, the made in two sentences, you know why? But the Medrash says that every time they hit the frog, it became more frogs. Stop hitting the frogs. No, you see, it hits more and more frogs. Every time they hit it, more frogs. So stop hitting the frogs. Now the disciple asks, "Oh, sorry. You know what's going on here?" So the disciple says, "That's cock. That's anger. It's not logical when you're angry. Everything you see things in front of you, but you can't be logical. Oh, you're overtaking. You're totally beyond yourself. That's what happened with the frogs. Yeah, they saw in front of them. Every time they hit the frogs, you know, it splits. But they hit it again and they hit it again. But they were angry." And that's what Kaas does to a person. That's what Kaas calls Kodesh Kilonia Vatazara. Right? Because I'm totally out of control. So you can look at that Kilos Yaakov on the surface terrace. Oh, sorry. So one more. We'll end with Prague. On page 12. And the rest will just be for your own benefit. That's Jonathan Iverson, quotes the Gemara in Sakhan. Warren Sakhan says, how do you know? Right? The Panagin Yisrael Vazaria. Right, the three great Chachamim that gave their lives to go into the Kishon HaEish, to go into the fiery furnace, and not bow down to Avodah Zarah. All my husband's son was real Avodah Zarah. Okay, whatever. But let's assume it was Avodah Zarah. They risked their lives. So the Gemara in Sakhan, Adach Nun Gimel, says, where did they learn this from? To be most benevolent of Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara says they learned it from the frog. They made a Kal Vachomer from the Tzvarzim. What does the Gemara say? Quoted here in the fourth line in the middle, Umas Zardin Shein Mitzumen Akedus Hashem. The frogs, they're not commanded Akedus Hashem. Hey, it says they jumped into the ovens, they gave their lives. Did Lahu Kadarech Mizarasecha Emasai Bisharas Besuyo Zeto Tanur. So Anu, Jews, we're Mitzumen Akedus Hashem. Alapakama Vakama, surely. Good luck. Very, unusual Gemara that we have to try to figure out what the shot is. So that's what he says, Kabbalah from the side. So one question on the Gemara is that they don't have a choice. Now it says, the Torah says, Uva'alu, Uva'alu, Uva'alu. What do you mean? They were most their nefes, so we learn a Kabbalah from them. You know, they're just playing with Lashitat HaGemara, that the frogs have a certain choice in the matter, but they didn't have a choice. But the frog who sent them into the oven. The frog who sent them. What's the whole Kabbalah? What's the kind of that Gemara? It says, if you're going to tonight, it's just, when he was 8 years old, says here, to Ben Shmona, that, yes, the nation or the group of gods had to go attack Paro and Mitzrayim. But each one of them could have said, I'll opt out on this one. I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna go to the park. You know, I'm gonna go play in the play yard, the playground. You know, nobody has to jump in. Who is gonna be the one to jump into the oven? You know, Ben Shmona didn't tell any specific frog. So he's running an Ibishit. You know, that was the godless of the charging. They all wanted to be known as their nephew. They all wanted to do the CDSM to jump into the others and jump into the place where they're going to give their lives. That's the Kalvachomer. Now, the Kalvachomer from a Charjeo, that was Silva. He wasn't a Silva to give his life, right? But still, he went above and beyond because he wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem. The Kalvachomer for us, says Hanani Michel Bazaria, you know, we're Mitzuva to give our lives individually, so too. That is something that we must do. Okay, so some of the things that we didn't get to is why Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the Haggadah, and others, some of one part on Dayenu. So, Bez Hashem, no Shabbos, we have other stuff to do. But Bez Hashem is always next year. Okay, right after